Good morning. This is Pastor Jim Roberts from Solid Rock Church. And we would like to welcome you to join us in some Christmas worship and a message about the advent of Christmas and what it means here in a little bit. We hope that this message, in no matter what state it finds you, will bless you and keep you and encourage you to press in closer to Christ, or maybe consider Christ as your Lord and Savior for the first time. Because Jesus is the reason for the season, and He is the one who will fill you with all hope, with all peace, with all love, and with all joy. God bless you, and please enjoy this worship and this message. God bless.
You are the one. Peace has come. He has come. In my
Good morning. This morning's message, we're going to talk once again about Advent and what that season means. Advent is celebrated differently among the denominations in the Christian faith. It is the period of preparation of one's heart for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas. It is also a preparation of one's heart for the second coming of Christ, because when we think of his first coming, we must think of his second coming and the hope and the joy and the peace and the love that is entailed with both of those events. Advent is a way to place Jesus at the center of our focus throughout the Christmas season. The last couple of weeks, we've pointed our hope and pointed our peace and pointed our love towards Christ during this Advent season. And only Jesus brings these things in a way that really changes our hearts. So this week, I want us to focus on the joy of Christ and what that means. And in order to get started, I want to read the Christmas story from Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And the shepherds and the angels, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all nations and all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This is to be a sign to you. You shall find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. You can experience joy anytime, because joy is not found in circumstances. As we see in this scripture, God foretold that he is bringing us the good news of great joy that will be for all people. Great joy is in the presence of Christ. Great joy is in the arrival of Christ. Great joy is not found in circumstances. It's not found in our surroundings. It is only found in Jesus. Jesus was born during a government census. So no matter what you think, even in this day and age, the government can't steal your joy. If anyone could have stole joy, it would have been the Roman government. They were quite a bit worse than anything we've ever experienced in our day and age. Another thing is Jesus was born in a stable. Your environment can't steal your joy. He was not born with the modern facilities we have, with the safeties we have, with the sterile environment that we have. He was born in a stable. And that environment had nothing to do with the joy that was experienced that first evening. Jesus was born into a humble family. You see, your status cannot steal your joy, whether it is of a lowly status or a high status or a mid status. It has nothing to do with joy. The joy that our Lord God gives, the joy that Jesus gives, is not determined by what is going on around us. It is determined by who we are and with who is within us. I'll say that again. Our joy is determined by who we are with and who is within us. John 15, 9 through 11, Jesus says this, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Joy is complete when we are walking in a loving relationship with our Father God. Joy is not a state of mind that we will ourselves into. It is a condition of our spirit transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are transformed from our innermost being, our spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit is within us, we start producing the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is not something we can manufacture. It is not something that we can contrive. The fruit of the Spirit is the power of the Spirit transforming our lives so that we produce, so that we experience certain things. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love." Just like that love that Jesus just talked about. If we have that love, something else happens. It says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. It is joy. It is peace. It is patience. It is kindness. It is goodness. It is faithfulness. It is gentleness. And it is self-control. So you see, all of the things that we experience during this Christmas season, all of the things that we focus on, the hope, the peace, the love, and the joy, they all come from the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. No circumstance, no outward influence can change our joy, our love, our hope, and our peace, as long as Christ is resident within our hearts, and as long as we allow his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, to transform us into those beings, those powerful citizens of heaven that God wants us to be. So this Christmas, I ask you to make this season a time where you make room in your heart for the presence of Christ, so that the hope of Christ, the peace of Christ, the love of Christ, and the joy of Christ can be complete in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that Jesus came as a lowly babe. But he came so that he would grow to be a man who would die for our sins, who would sacrifice his entire life, not just as he walked on this earth, but sacrifice his life to die in our place, so that he would be resurrected to heaven, and so that the Holy Spirit would be poured out upon all mankind, so that those who accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior will be filled with the Holy Spirit and will experience the hope, the joy, the peace, and the love of Christ. And Father, I pray that this Christmas season, and especially this next week before Christmas, we focus on these things and we focus on opening up our spirit to you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill us. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your character. Fill us with your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all, and may you have a very, very Merry Christmas.